Hello and welcome to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast. This is where we take a look back at some of our highlights from the past week. And once again, we were able to join Georgie Revel at the Cook Shack in Bride and learnt how to make a wonderful pumpkin pie, very seasonal. We also met the Manx Chef of the Year and he passed on some of his hints and tips to us as well. We solved the Morrigadoonie Challenge, which was set for us by Phil Gorn and Simon Clark, with a trip to Ramsey. And we were joined once again in the studio by Carol Ellis, the baking bard.
I have to ask you, I know I always make the Jane McDonald reference. I'm so sorry, but she likes cruising. She belts out a few numbers on a cruise ship. Have you ever been asked to?
I don't belt out any numbers on a cruise ship, but I often get, when I'm in the dinner queue, you know, queuing up, and people all say, oh, I thought it was Jane McDonald when they hear me talking. You see, they might hear me behind me, and I go, no, it's not her. It's not, I wish I could sing like her.
Well, she could get up and do poems for everyone. Oh, that's what you could do, Carol, isn't it? But also, in between the time since we last saw you, you've had two big events. One is that the big wedding.
The big wedding. The wedding of the year.
Yes.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Who got married?
My daughter, Jessica, got married to David in July 27th in Ballinahinch, in a fabulous location. And we actually had such good weather that we had the ceremony outside.
And did you bake the cake?
No, because I couldn't transport it, because we had to go across in the Mustang. Michael's got a Mustang.
Oh, the Mustang's beautiful.
Well, Jessica wanted to get to go to the church, not the church, to go to the venue in the Mustang.
How cool is that? Totally rock and roll.
Well, it was cool, but it was a little bit of a worry for me because I didn't think she'd get the dress in the Mustang, but she did.
Oh, and bit of a squeeze.
There. And we couldn't have fit the cake in, so we couldn't get the cake in.
But did you do a poem for her?
Oh, yes, I did a poem, yes.
Aww, yes. I bet that was a weepy.
No, it wasn't a weepy. It was a funny. So it was more, I did a few jokes and then I told her, then I read the poem. So it went down very well.
Oh, how lovely.
I know.
You are going to do a poem for us this afternoon. Yes. And I believe that this one is really dedicated to all those parents whose offspring are heading away very shortly.
This is a weepy. This is the weepiest poem that I've ever written, actually. When I wrote it, the first time I read it back, I actually cried.
Really?
Yes. I wrote it as I'd been visiting Jessica. She now lives in the north of Ireland. And I'd been visiting and I came back and she hadn't been sort of in this new house long. And I thought, oh, I feel like I'm losing her. She's growing up. She's grown. She's gone. And I wrote this poem and it did used to make me cry, but I'll be fine today. And it actually mentions her naughty Teddy. He's an absolute legend in his own bedtime. Everybody knows naughty Teddy. He did go to the wedding and he is actually mentioned in the poem.
Real insight into Carol Ellis's family life.
It really is. This is a slightly abridged version because I know the original has several verses, but what's it called?
It's called The Empty Nest, and I have actually, I'll only do the last few verses because it is quite a long poem, but if people want to read the full length poem, it's in a book called Food for Thought.
Wonderful. Carol, take it away when you're ready.
There we go. At the end of the day, all tucked up into bed, freshly washed hair on a warm, sleepy head. That old naughty Teddy, so worn and so battered, her constant companion, so loved and so tattered. Her magical childhood was filled with such joy. She was daring and bold, could outclimb any boy. Artistic and sporty and smart and so funny. The pleasure she brought, you could not buy with money. You remember you dreamt of her as you were waking. But there in the real world, your heart was just breaking. No head on the pillow, no dolls on the floor. You walk past her bedroom and pause at the door. The house is so quiet, there's no tots and mums, no pram in the hallway, no more biscuit crumbs. What you wouldn't give for a swing on the grass, to see small fingerprints formed all over the glass. So cherish each moment, each joy and each worry. Enjoy every milestone, there's no need to hurry. Make sure that you treasure each moment they're young. There's no job more important than being a mum.
Nation Station, Max Radio.
live once again from the Cook Shack with our Georgie Revel. Today, I'm going to be teaching her how to make a pumpkin pie. There is one that I've made already, which is here, which you'll be able to see if you go to the Manx Radio Facebook page. Some wonderful pictures of the food that hasn't been eaten already by Christy. Georgie, thank you very much for having us back again.
Oh, hi, Beth. Hi, Christy.
We mentioned in the introduction awards. There's a little one maybe sitting over there with your name on it.
There is a little one, but you know what? This amazing guy here that I've managed, what a coup, to get to the Cook Shack today is more important. Tyler won Chef of the Year in the Isle of Man, and what a lovely guy he is too. So I'm delighted to have him here. Yes, I'm really fortunate. I was awarded the Special Recognition Award from DEFA for promoting local produce and producers. And my goodness, don't we have the most amazing producers on the island and produce and really high-end. And as I said in one of my posts, we had a lovely talk from Fiona Fitz Consultancy. And she said, you know, per capita, we are absolutely way above everyone else. And we've got more Great Taste Awards than per capita than anywhere else. So, yeah, we're doing all right in the Isle of Man.
We certainly are. Congratulations, Georgie. But you did mention Tyler, and I should say congratulations, Tyler, not only for winning Chef of the Year, but also for surviving my driving from Ramsey.
Yeah, it was quite a track, that, wasn't
all right, it? All right, Tyler, you weren't supposed to agree. Tyler, it has been a heck of a weekend for you. Have you come down off Clown Dye yet?
Yeah, the support's still been fantastic, and yeah, it's just overwhelming to see the amount of support. Even in Ramsey, it's like the, oh, well done for winning. It's good for the bistro, because the bistro is a well-recognised place as it is. So
tell us a bit about where you work.
I work at Jean-Pierre's Bistro up in Ramsey. It's down Parliament Street, and it's sort of French food, but it's modernised a bit now because change of chefs over the time, including myself. So it's good to really put the ball out and just try new interesting ideas with the clientele that we have. And
now I have to ask, because this is quite the accolade, winning Chef of the Year. Do you mind me asking how old you are, Tyler?
I'm 25 years old.
I mean, that is an incredible achievement, quite extraordinary, to be fair. And what's brilliant is that you went to UCM, University College Isle of Man. You worked with Chris Franklin, who I know you hold in such high regard. Mm. And it's great to think that these sort of things can be taught and achieved over here.
It's just all down to the mentors, like you come in and your time, really, and it's just great.
So were you cooking from a little lad then? Is it something you did growing up?
I was about 60, and I started kitchen porter, and then just delving in ideas with food and just dabbling with like home-cooked stuff, and then just tweaking my own little recipes, and then just really stepping up and getting into the kitchen equally.
Fantastic. Well, it's great that you could be here this afternoon. I love the fact that Georgie put you straight to work. I mentioned we are going to be making a pumpkin pie. This is quite, looks quite involved, this, Georgie. Here is the finished article.
Do you know what, Beth? This is something that you would really enjoy making. So we've made a lovely sweet shortcrust pastry, and we're going to blind bake it. And we know you know what blind baking is, but I'll just help you out, just in case you don't. So blind baking is when you have like ceramic baking beans, or we've got just put here some pulses that we just put back in a jar every time, and we're just going to put it on some parchment paper, put it inside the pastry. It holds, it creates a weight on the pastry, and it just gives it that extra cooking bit before you put the filling in. So hopefully the filling won't absorb into that lovely pastry. I think Tyler's done a brilliant job of filling up the pie tin, and then we're going to mix loads of lovely pumpkin pie puree, which you can get the pumpkin puree from Robinson's, and we're going to put some lovely Isle of Man Creamery's double cream in it, a load of spices, and a special little, my little quirky bit that lifts, as Tyler said. He's been very polite to me and very kind with my cooking, because I am not a chef. I love the way you introduced me as a chef, but I am not. I'm a good cook, aren't I, Tony Quirk? And we've got some lovely Aylin dairy milk we're going to put in, and we're going to have some soft brown sugar.
Do you know, I have Sounds to ask, great. Because I would just think of this really as an American dish, and it's something that, as I said, coming from a half-American background, is something that we used to have as kids. Is this something, Tyler, that you've ever made before, pumpkin pie?
Not personally. I'm not really a fan of pumpkin, but I'm willing to try new flavours and whatnot.
That's got to be a tricky thing to do as a chef because, of course, you have to cook anything for everyone, don't you? And you've got to taste it as you go along. How do you deal with recipes when it's stuff that you don't actually like?
Well, I do bite the bullet. Excuse me. But no, we have like Sunday lunches where we can do different starters, different desserts to really just experiment and have a play about with food and just see what we all enjoy as well to make. So it's good on that side. Station,
Manx Radio. Checkpoint entirely.
Well, I'm as level as a level thing. Is that level enough?
Does Mark Tiley often get described as level?
I don't know.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, he's just come back from a dizzying heights gig.
I know.
Top of Snaefell. My word.
Lovely views.
You have scaled the heights of stardom.
I tell you, paid the roof of the world.
Your greatest hit on your Manx Radio.
Loved so, it. We have another chance to hear another wonderful piece of music recommended by the man himself.
Well, thank you. I do enjoy doing this because it makes me dig deep into various bits and pieces, but I didn't have to dig too deep for this. You know, we used to give these little spots a title.
Yes,
this
we did.
This is just called...
A bit Frasier.
This is Ridiculous Talent and So Early On. If you start writing a song when you're 12... and you sort of finish most of it when you're 13, and then it's all done and dusted when you're 14, and then you record it when you're 16.
I know who it is.
And then you hang around a bit and meet some friends, and you release it where later on in 1978, so you'd have been sort of 18, 19. And you've got David Gilmour from Pink Floyd helping you get it right. One of the great conductors and instrumental arrangers, Andrew Powell, who is legendary. And if, my dear listener, you don't know about Andrew Powell, just take an idle moment and look what he's worked on, from symphonies through to Alan Parsons' project through just endless. I mean, he is such an amazing guy. And then you have your debut album and everyone goes bonkers about it. And it just... doesn't happen that often when somebody gets so much talent and all the planets line up. You meet these amazing people, but you've got the songs and you've got the vision at the age of 12, 13, 14.
And the personality and character, yeah. Because that's part of it as well, I think, with this artist.
I'm just the hugest fan. Always have been since I first heard the first note of Wuthering Heights, which Capital Radio in London played before anybody else. Nobody was going to play it. I think it was Kenny Everett. He played it every hour, just kept playing it. Radio 1 didn't get on it for ages and ages, but Capital did. But this was her second single. And when you consider the age and all that I've talked about, just marvel at this. Here it is. The Man with the Child in His Eyes, Kate Bush's second single from The Kick Inside.
I hear him before I go to sleep and focus on the day that's been. I realize he's there when I turn the light off and turn over. Nobody about my man, they think he's lost on some horizon, and suddenly I find myself listening to a man I never known before, telling me about the sea, all his loves to eternity. Ooh, he's here.
We are indeed. This is for our latest Morrigidini challenge. And there's a whole Manx Flower Association. And how funny then, we should be outside the florists on Parliament Street in Ramsey. Because I think he's referring to Josephine Kermode, who was known as Cushag, hence floral reference.
Exactly.
And I'm sure she was born around here at 73 Parliament Street. I can't quite see what the number is on this
Shall
one.
Shall we ask in the florist?
Shall we?
Shall we go in and let's be brave? Let's be brave. Right. Okay.
She's right behind me. I can't see anybody here. Hello? Oh, I think someone's coming in from the back. Hi, we're just on a mission to try and find, what number is it?
73 Parliament Street.
Is this 73?
This is it.
Yes. This is number 73 Parliament Street?
Yes.
Ah, would you mind if we just had a quick chat with you? Because I don't know if you know, but a very important person was born here.
Didn't?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, what's your name?
It's Glynis.
Glynis, it's lovely to meet you. I'm sorry for just descending on you here, but we are on a bit of a mission. I'm Christy and this is Beth. And yeah, we're trying to find a challenge answer, aren't we?
Yeah, so basically on a Sunday, we're set a Manx-themed challenge and we have to find the answer to it. And this week's was about a very well-known poet who was born on the 18th of September, 1852. And we found out it's a woman called Josephine Kermode who was born
Absolutely.
At 73 Parliament
no.
Street.
Is that not what the plaque's about across the road?
Oh, we didn't notice that.
No, we didn't notice that plaque.
Shall we go and have a look?
Let's go and have a look. You can join our intrepid explorer team. This is brilliant. We've got a
I'm
system.
Ashamed to say that I haven't looked at this at all.
Well, at least you knew it was there. We walked past it several times and didn't even notice it. So, you know, we appreciate you. Oh, hold on. The plaque, yes. Okay, we better cross right. over. So it's a bit safer.
Oh, it's a connection. Philip Moore Callow Kermode, Master of Arts and Manx, Patriot Scholar, Antiquary author, founded Isle of Man Natural History. It's not her father.
Not.
Her father was William Kermode, but there's got to be some connection, hasn't there?
Well, this is Kermode House.
So there you go. So it's
this
all,
area.
All
yeah.
this area. So she, Josephine, was one of seven children, one of seven who lived beyond childhood. Her father was Reverend William Kermode, and Josephine's father was president of the Isle of Man Natural History and Antiquarian Society, and he was to initiate a parish book for Belaff. So
she
really,
knows that all
really
off the top of her head, you know. It's amazing.
No, yeah.
I'm conscious
much.
That we need to cross back to the shop. Because we've taken you out of your shop and the doors are just wide open. It's so brilliant, the Isle of Man, this, isn't it?
Oh, it's all right. I go for a coffee across there and leave the doors open anyway.
It could only happen over here, that, couldn't it?
But how amazing that yeah. there's that floral link. And it's a florist now. I love that. And she was actually really good friends, apparently, with Sophia Morrison. So as well as writing loads of poetry, one of which we are going to have to recite, incidentally, she was really key in that friendship, in helping promote Manx folklore as well.
Brilliant. So now you know this is a really important building.
Yes, and my neighbour, Kira, who lives upstairs, she will be really interested because she's into her Manx heritage, shall we say.
And how long has this place actually been a florist?
I've had it for 5.5 years, but prior to that, I think it had been a florist for probably 20 years or more.
Wow.
But it has got a bit of a history, this building, because it was a children's clothes shop, so lots of my customers remember being brought here as very small children. It was Mrs. Twybell that had it and a Mrs. Merrill. And I have heard that prior to that it has been a gentleman's club.
Oh, wow.
That's all I know. And I think at some point it was a bank.
My gosh, it really has got history.
You have looked into it. I love it.
Obviously, my wonderful customers come in and tell me things, and they have all a history to tell. There's some amazing people here with some amazing stories.
I don't suppose you happen to do poetry yourself, just on the off chance?
I definitely don't. Never been a poet, I'm afraid.
Really glad that now maybe this is something you can look into,
yeah,
especially if Kira upstairs.
Yes. Yes. She'll be really interested,
amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Glynis, it's been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. And yes, here we are. It's the birthplace of Cushag and it's a florist. Amazing.
I love that. I genuinely do really love that. And thank you so, so much to Glynis. Honestly, we did feel very...
we felt a bit rude.
We did feel a little bit rude. Just literally wandering
throwing
in.
Throwing a microphone in her face.
I
but
know.
She was great and really enthusiastic about it.
And I do love that floral yeah. connection. That is yeah. just brilliant. So we've come to the other part of the challenge then, which is to read a poem. And several have been suggested, and some of them are obviously dialect poems, which I think would...
We would struggle with.
We would struggle
yeah.
with, and I wouldn't want to do that. But we found one called To the Cushag's Friend, which I think is just beautiful. We're just going to read a couple of verses of this.
The first and the end.
The first and the final verse. Okay, so are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the cushig flower in a fairy bower would shine like a star of gold. But when it grows in the farmer's close, 'tis a shocking weed, we're told. Yet common things may have their wings to help our souls above. And wayside weeds, like kindly deeds, spring from a father's love.
Now the cushag we know must never grow where the farmer's work is done. But along the rills, in the heart of the hills, the cushag may shine like the sun.
Where the golden flowers have fairy powers to gladden our hearts with their grace. And in Vanenvegveen, in the valleys green, the cushags still have a place.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Isn't it beautiful?
Really gorgeous. Yeah. So thank you very much, Clarkie and Phil. We really enjoyed that one. And maybe we've thrown up some more information for them to consider.
Absolutely. And I think by the sound of things, Glynis is going to go investigating all the backstories of the florist shop as well.
Those are all our late lunch leftovers for this week. Do tune in for the main helping on Manx Radio weekdays just after 2 p.m.
Every week, of course, we'll have our regular features with Duxford Diaries. We'll have Mark Tiley's Greatest Hit, Midweek Mindfulness, and plenty more with our monthly guests as well.
But for now, thank you so much for listening to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast. We'll see you again next time.